One sat alone beside the highway, begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes.
It's time again for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away.
And here now is Brother Roloff.
And fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
Have we reached the place in America where we've passed the turning back corner and the sign that's yonder in at Niagara Falls, big sign that says past redemption point? Now you play around. You just play around. You jump in that water and you swim around. But listen, when you come to that sign right there that says past redemption point, you pass that and you're gone.
Right.
Now, I believe the Lord sets a past redemption point for everybody. I believe you can just play around, fiddle around with God, make fun of Him, and you can see His light, refuse to get in it, and one of these days, there's a past redemption point for a lost man and for a saved man.
Amen.
A lost man will go to hell, and a saved man will die and go to heaven early. You say, is that scripture? I guess it is scripture. You know what I want to say now? Don't you ever go to bed with unforgiven sin. Don't you ever do it. I mean, when you go to bed tonight, you be sure you've confessed and asked God to forgive, and He will. You'd say you've been in the Old Testament, Brother Olaf. Why don't you move along, okay? Let's go to the book of Matthew. That leads me to the greatest prophet that's ever lived. You knew who that was? That's Jesus. Oh, we had Old Testament. Did you know the Bible said, I came not to destroy the law and the prophets, but fulfill. Jesus was everything. For instance, if you got all the prophets like Moses and Elijah and Noah and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel and all the prophets, got them all, and you just took everything good about every one of them and rolled it up and put it into one person, there comes Jesus.
Right.
He fulfilled every bit of it.
There's
not one leap or one jot or one tittle or one doggish lady or doggish 40 in the Greek or anything else that hadn't been fulfilled by Jesus.
Amen.
People say, well, you just can't live the Bible. You're too late, Buster. It's already been lived.
Amen.
I want to say something else. The man that doesn't fulfill the scripture will die and go to hell. You say, I don't understand that. If you do not keep the whole law, offending one point, you're guilty of all. Every bit of it. Oh, you'd say, that makes me feel so helpless. And me too. That's why I run to Jesus.
Amen.
I run to Jesus. I said, Lord, I'm in a terrible fix. I done busted a bunch of them. Now! I want your righteousness. And He said, I came to fulfill. All right, turn to Matthew chapter 23. This is the chapter of the greatest message by the greatest prophet. There's more skinning and scathing and scalding. And notice it's against the scribes, the Pharisees. They want to sit in Moses' seat. Oh, yes. They want to sit up in Moses' seat. Now, they don't want to live like Moses. And if Moses were to come and draw the line, he'd have to kill most of them. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say, and do not. Now that's not a prophet. They bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. All their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and they love the uppermost rooms at feasts, the chief seats, synagogues, greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all your brethren, and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Amen. You wouldn't think it's strange, would you? But I'd tell you not to call me Father Roloff. You know why? The Bible said, call no man on this earth father. I don't know why people can't understand. Ain't that plain? It don't make any difference which way he turns his collar, wears his robe. Call no man. I mean, I'm not ugly. And I don't mean to be facetious, but I'm just simply saying, brother, they're not our spiritual father. And Jesus is doing the talking. He's doing the preaching. It's not me. Man call him, he's the godfather of a little girl. We got a lot of people, they feel like, man, they've asked me to come. Said, Brother Wolf, I want you to christen my baby. I said, well, he gets old enough to realize he's a sinner and let Jesus christen it. Amen. I'm not the Savior, I can't christen it. Christen means to christen, C-H-R-I-S-T-E-N. What does that mean? It means to make a Christian out of it. You can't make a Christian a little old dumb baby. They don't know beans about sin. They don't know how to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't. What do you think? I'd go into the nursery up at the hospital and peep through that little old baby. Couldn't even focus his eyes. And little old head. I said, say, if thou will confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in your heart. Little old baby, go off to sleep while I talk. Or maybe say, ah! You know, brother, and yet they talk about christening. You think I'm acting silly? Not that at all. I'm trying to show you, dear friend, a child needs to be trained and come to the place where they realize I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. Well, Jesus is doing the preaching. He said, don't call any man master either. One is your master. Neither be called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that's greatest among you shall be your servant. Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he shall that humble himself shall be exalted. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. And he said, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore you shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. Look like that's what he's after, isn't it? Scribes, Pharisees, and... Then he said, you go out and make one proselyte and you compass land and sea. And when you get through making him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. And he said, woe unto you. This is the book, you fools and blind. And then on through. But I want to show you as we come to the close. Verse 23. Mark it down. Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and omitted the weightier matters. Law, that's the word of God. Judgment, mercy, and faith. Notice how they get him. It's sending important. Law, judgment, mercy, and then you believe and you get saved. When he comes to the close of his message, he comes to the 37th verse and said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest who? The prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Now turn with me, please, to Luke chapter 24. Let's see if you can get saved by listening to the prophets. Jesus is up. He's walking. He doesn't have any broken bones, no crooked limbs. He's out of the cemetery and out of the borrowed tomb. Two men are walking alone on the road to Emmaus. And Jesus said, verse 17, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And they said, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Well, he really was. Jerusalem didn't want Jesus. Jerusalem was one that helped to kill him. A prophet's always a stranger in religious headquarters. Hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? Or said concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people. Amen. There's your prophet. There's your prophet. Now then, when you come a little bit further, he's going to tell them something. He's going to break the bread to them. He's going to show them what it says. And so in just a moment, let's read on. Verse 27, beginning, whereabouts? Moses and all the prophets. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the thing concerning himself. Amen. Now then, what did he talk about? Jesus preached Jesus. He began at Moses. That's Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. He started at Moses, and then he went through all the prophets and expounded concerning himself. And when they got over to their house, they said to him, would you come and have dinner with us, please? Now, they may not have had indigestion, but they had the heartburn, didn't they? The Bible said they did. And at the table, when he broke the bread, now remember, he opened the scriptures, he opened their understanding, he opened their eyes, and now then, when he broke the bread, their eyes were open, and they said, we've been walking with a resurrected Lord. And they made a 180 and took off back and said, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us along the way? There was a prophet. One more and I'm through. And I didn't cover all of them at all, but go to Luke chapter 16, will you? Now, this is interesting. This is the place in the Bible where Jesus talks about a rich man, and he went to hell, didn't he? The Bible said in hell, he lifted up his eyes. There was a poor man, a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. Verse 21, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. The beggar died, carried by the angels. Amen. Well, that's good, wonderful pallbearers, wasn't it? Carried by the angel in Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Then no angels come get him. And in hell, he lift up his eyes. Did you know, and I do not say this to be critical, except, did you know that the state program, and especially the DHR, will not permit you to preach the doctrine of hell? They will not endorse that because they say that upsets the children. Amen. And I'd rather upset them here than have them upset too late. So he lifted up his eyes in torments, in hell, and I want you to notice now what he said. He said, I wish you'd send a plane to get me. No, he didn't. He said, Father Abraham, come and get me out. He didn't say that. He didn't say that. He said, send some water. For what? My tongue. I wonder, reckon what that means. Have you ever thought about it? The one thing that tormented him the most was his tongue. His tongue was burning. What if that old tongue hadn't given him a lot of trouble? What about yours? the tongue can no man tame. And when the rich man got to hell, he cried for a water boy to come and just put a little water on his tongue. Hey, I had a thought. The tongue was so hot and he was so miserable. He thought, maybe if I could get my tongue cooled off, I could cry for mercy. The tongue, it's a wonderful piece of equipment. Have you ever thought about how long a tongue will last? I mean, looks like a tongue never wears out. I mean, you can live, if you live as old as Methuselah, you've never heard of anybody hardly losing their tongue. They may, you know, lose their head and temper, but their tongue, it's made out of, I guess, some material. And yet the rich man got to hell and said, send me some water for my tongue. But here's the interesting thing. This man turned into a soul winner, didn't he? I mean, he wanted a witness. I pray thee therefore, verse 27, therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house. You remember Jesus said, call no man on this earth father. He's calling him father. But he wasn't his father. Abraham was the father, the faithful, and the friend of God. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham. But if one went unto them from the dead, they'll join the church. No. They'll repent, and that's it. What's hell's message for earth sinners? Repentance. Oh, listen. There is no substitute for the doctrine of repentance. Here's a man in hell asking for somebody to go back to earth and warn his five brethren lest they come to that eternal home of the doomed. And he said they have Moses and the prophets. We got more than that now. We have Moses and the prophets and Christians and preachers and churches and the gospel and the Bible. We have a lot now. But oh, how little we seem to have done with it. One more. Ephesians 2:20. What part does the prophets have with our church tonight? Chapter 2. And it'll be verse 20. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. There you are. The foundation. And then he says, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. I'm glad we've got a good foundation. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and the righteousness. I dare not trust that sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. All of the ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with the trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found dressed in his righteousness alone. Faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is
sinking sand.
All other ground is sinking
sand.
Let's stand together.
Our Father, we brought at least most of the message that we had time for concerning the importance of a prophet. And Lord, if you'd permit me to wear the shoes of a prophet, I'd confess over and over, I'm not worthy. But Lord, how this generation needs a prophet, just needs a prophet. No matter the price, the heartache, the burdens, the misunderstanding, the loneliness, even trip through juniper jungles, whatever it takes, Lord. But oh, I pray for the mantle, I mean the mantle of a prophet tonight. Lord, surely after all these years, you could fix me where you could use me to help this generation of people. I mean, not just Texas, but around the earth. Lord, I pray for that spiritual unction and power. You said you have the unction of God, need not that any man should teach you. Oh, give to us that kind of an experience and ministry. Bless my people, bless the visitors, thank you for them. Bless our own people tonight. Thank God, we believe that we're entering in to Canaan's land. Lord, give us a big chew of honeycomb and some big grapes from Eshcol. Help us, Lord, that we'll be faithful in the ministry to which you've called us. While our heads are bowed, I think we'll sing one of the sweetest desires of any Christian. While we sing, if you feel led to come to the altar tonight, may I help you? May I remind you that you haven't committed any sin. You haven't done anything that Jesus doesn't know about or care about or couldn't cover up by his blood, whether it be little or big or whatever it may be. While we sing, if you want to come, kneel down here to your boys. Some of you have been burdened about. Let the Lord have his way.
We're glad you've joined us today for the Family Altar Program with Evangelist Lester Roloff. Our message today was entitled, The Importance of a Prophet. If you'd like to receive this message on a CD, simply ask for offer number RO2857. 2857. The Importance of a Prophet is the title. To help us cover shipping and handling, we ask for a gift of at least $10, and we'd like to have today's date and the call letters to this radio station. To order by credit card, toll-free number is 1-800-772-7507. Our address, the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. May is the anniversary of the Family Altar Program, and also we entitle it Letter Month. It's also the month that Brother Roloff really founded the ministry right here. We'd love to hear your comments from some of you about the ministries of the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises in the past, and the Family Altar Program, of course. Some of the listeners that have written us, one here is from Dallas, Texas, said, "Friends, we pray the ministry will be prosperous with souls for Jesus. This ministry has meant so much to our family. God bless and keep up with the good work. We love you." And we love that message also, my friend. Here's another message coming from North Carolina, Lake Toxaway. That's a beautiful title. "I love your preaching and what you all stand for. My gift is not much, but I hope it helps keep the faith and stands for Jesus. I pray for the ministry of Jesus Christ through Brother Roloff's life. God bless you all." And we thank you for that letter, and we would love to hear from many of you. There's others out there, hundreds and perhaps thousands that are listening, have been listening for years,
And maybe you've never written. And this is the chance to not only encourage us, but help us even financially during this particular time when the financial situation of the country is just a little bit questionable. But our message this month is entitled, Faith, the Second Greatest Gift. This is our special offer for May. Now, it's available for $10, and Brother Roloff answers questions such as, what does faith have to offer? And where can I get faith? How do I use it? Well, our toll-free order line is 1-800-772-7507, or you may write us at the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. And we do accept credit cards. That toll-free number again is 1-800-772-7507. Now remember again, this is Letter Month. And as a vote for your station to keep us on the air in your area, we must hear from you today. So sit down while you're thinking about it right now and write to the Family Altar Program at Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. Now, this is Gene Price speaking for the staff here today, wishing you all a wonderful day, and we're looking forward to being with you again here on the Family Altar Program.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul, and He made the wounded whole by the waters of blue Galilee. They sat at His feet and they looked in His face, content in His presence to be. For no one before had cared for their souls like the stranger who sat by the sea.